our spirits in the wilderness. Our spirits in the wilderness. We meet Jesus in the scripture today in what is called the wilderness. And he faces three temptations. One, where he is tempted by the advocate. It's another word. One who challenges. And he says, you know, I know you're hungry. Why don't you turn these stones into bread and feed yourself? And then he gives him a test to allow God to save him and for him to jump off the high point. And then the challenger, the advocate, says, all of this can be yours if you'll just kneel to me. These are temptations of wants and power and wealth. Things I think we can all relate to. And Jesus refuses, quoting scripture. My friends, the question for us today is to equate our own life with that of Jesus in the wilderness. Where have you found yourself in the middle of the wilderness? When have you experienced temptations when you were all alone and felt no one was there to help? Our wilderness experiences often occur when we feel like we're facing our fears by ourselves, with no one else there. We experience a sense of isolation. One of the ways that that song, God is Able, last week ministered to me is that when I felt discouraged in my own wilderness journey with my health, that song lifted me up and told me God is with me in that experience. Our wilderness experiences are opportunities for us to explore the depth of our faith and the challenges of our fears. Tomorrow is the national holiday for Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. You might be surprised to discover that King experienced his own wilderness story. The story goes like this, that after he finished his PhD, he found a nice little church, a quiet place, to do his ministry and to raise his family. He had a new baby daughter and a wife, and some folks got together in Montgomery, and they said, you know, hey, we need a leader of this movement. We need a young face. We need someone who doesn't have any enemies yet. And they said, let's have this new Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. be the leader. And they talked to him, and he said, no, thank you. I just want to take care of my little church and my wife and my kid and focus on what's important right now. Y'all can find somebody else. And so he didn't show up at that first organizational meeting, and you all know what happens when you don't show up at a meeting. He got voted in as the leader anyway. And so he decided, after they had asked him again to serve and they voted him in, that he would serve that team. He had a heart and a willingness to serve, but no desire for that leadership position. He wanted to keep things simple. And so they began to plan the Montgomery bus boycott, and they started on that journey, and he had received some threatening phone calls. And he was fine, and then one day he came back, and in the middle of the night he got a call from somebody, a guy, who yelled obscenities at him and told him that he had better get himself out of town and leave. And he hung up the phone, and he was shaken. He found himself in the middle of his own wilderness experience, and for the first time he realized that the God that he had studied in his PhD of theology, when he had studied Bart, wasn't big enough or strong enough to handle the racism that he was encountering in Alabama. He started thinking about his baby daughter and his wife and his home and the bomb threats and the threats of this individual person on the phone who yelled obscenities at him and told him that he'd better get out of town. And he realized that he needed his God to be bigger than his problems. And so in the middle of his kitchen, he, over his cup of coffee that he was drinking to try to calm his nerves, he prayed over that cup of coffee and he asked for God, the God of his father, the pastor, Daddy King, to come and counsel him and to give him strength. And in the middle of that kitchen experience, over that cup of coffee, he felt the distinct word of God come to him and tell him and call him by name, Martin Luther, stand up for righteousness and justice and truth. For I will be with you, said the voice, to the end of the age. And he felt calm and peace, like he never felt before. And he knew that his God was bigger than the circumstances that were before him, and he left that kitchen, and he went back out and continued to do the work in Montgomery and in what turns out to be the rebirth of the civil rights movement. And 3 days later, Ralph Abernathy comes up to him and says, Dr. King, your house has just been bombed. And he received the news calmly and was not shaken, for he knew that God was with him. He left that place, he went to his home, his wife and his baby were fine and safe, and he knew that this movement wasn't about him or his internal resources. It was about what God wanted in the world. That wilderness and kitchen experience is what sustained Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. throughout the entire ministry of the civil rights movement. You see, even Dr. King found himself in the middle of the wilderness. These experiences, these God experiences, are called metanoia, a metanoia experience. Have you heard that word before, metanoia? Well, it's a $20 word. You can throw it around at lunch today. Metanoia means a transformation of your heart, a spiritual conversion, a God experience, that afterwards you are changed. It's not that Dr. Martin Luther King's fear was removed from him. It's that he was no longer the same person that walked into that kitchen. He was expanded in his call and his service and his strength. If you've had someone pray for you during a difficult time, you've felt that sense of being lifted up and relieved, right? Of what burden is on your shoulders. Scripture says that there's a voice crying out in the wilderness, see, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. That voice crying out in the wilderness can be in a variety of forms. We hear people's voices crying out in the wilderness right here in Janesville. We hear people who are striving and saying, we need to find a place where our faith can be accepted regardless of who we love. We hear voices crying out in the wilderness of people who are living in poverty, who are dealing with racism in a daily basis. We hear voices crying out in the wilderness who say, I'm a child of God. Accept me and love me as I am. And we, the church, are called to respond. You see, friends, when we read and hear the story of Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by the advocate for power and wealth and the desire to take care of his own earthly needs, what we forget, it was the Spirit that drove him and accompanied him in the wilderness in the first place. Jesus was never alone. Jesus was never alone in that wilderness, and neither are we. Neither are we alone in our own spiritual challenges. The scripture says not only did the Spirit lead him into the wilderness, but after the advocate left, it says the angels waited on him. The angels ministered to him. Friends, we are the angels that minister to one another. We are the community that helps lift one another up and makes it possible so that each of us, when our wilderness experience comes, we can experience a sense of not being alone. Right? It's together that we experience the Spirit of the Holy One dwelling in our lives and around us. Our spirits in the wilderness find an opportunity to grow. But we are not alone. God is with us. And as the church, we go through these things together. Amen.